Everyone, it's that time again. We got Sav back in the team.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
There you go. So, Golf WRX, Wisdom in Golf, the perfect imperfections, and away we go. British Open was over the weekend, and we have a really good topic of conversation right now, and it's defensive versus offensive. And we've had talks like this in the past, but we're going to get a little deeper into the rabbit hole today. And we look at, you know, as an example of what transpired over the weekend. You have Cameron Smith, who is really good coming from behind. Mike Weir was the same.
Yeah.
Out of the 9 wins that Mike Weir has, 8 of them were from behind. And so Tigers, the vast majority of them are from the front. He's the front runner.
Yeah.
So from a very young age, Tiger's dad had instilled in him, when you're up, you step on their necks. Mm-hmm. So he wins Masters by 12. He wins U.S. Open by 15. Records, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he's not letting the pedal off.
Yeah.
It's just the best defense is a good offense. And that rings true in golf. And what happened to Rory happened exactly the same way when he was up against Patrick Reed at the Masters. He let Patrick Reed in the door at the Masters. Mm-hmm. So how does that happen? Well, you got the whole crowd with you, so you have the pressure of that. You know, the underdog is a very potent thing to be an underdog, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got the home crowd with you, and the crowd is going wild, and they're encouraging and everything else. And the underdogs who are, you know, at your door, they're going, hey, man, we're going to beat these guys in their own turf. So they're very motivated.
Right. Yeah.
And
there's no expectation.
No expectations. Mm-hmm. So they're going for it. Yeah. They're fully abandoning themselves to the task. So if you look at Cameron Smith, he was in abandon mode.
Yeah.
He was just rolling those putts right in the hole. Like, he didn't flinch. He says, well, this is what I need to do to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And so he was going after it. And Rory was saying, well, if I have to put a number on to make sure I win, I figure 2 or 3 under par should do the trick.
Yeah.
Unless somebody like Cameron Smith turns it on and shoots 64 in a final round.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens. And it's a classic, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen our Canadian teams have done incredibly well in hockey over the years. I remember seeing one of the junior teams in a world championship out in Europe, and they were up 6-0 or 6-1. And then you saw in the third period, everything changed. They were all defensive. The offense was gone, and it was like, okay, everybody, let's just button down the hatches here, and let's be fully defensive, and let's, you know, make sure they don't get the puck and blah blah blah. So then they stopped going on the offensive.
Yeah.
And they almost lost the game. They let the other team all the way back in, and it was like, by the skin of their teeth, they won that match. And we were going nuts in the living room. We were just cursing at the TV, going, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right?
And you could see it happening.
Yeah.
It was like a train wreck. You were witnessing a train wreck.
Yeah.
I remember there being some soccer games like that growing up where, you know, there was this whole, like, courtesy thing of, like, if you're winning by so much, like, you should, like, let off the gas so that you don't, like, embarrass the other team too much. And in my head, when everyone, if anybody ever said that or, like, coaches said that, I'm like, why would we want to stop scoring goals? Like, that's not on us. That is on them. Like,
yeah, that's right.
That's, they're.
I remember that when you were called up.
Yeah.
To an older age group.
Yeah.
Because they needed some players.
Yeah.
And you had scored 9 goals.
And I was ready for more.
You were ready for more. And the other coach was yelling at the other coach saying, why don't you take her off the field?
Yeah.
Isn't that enough? Haven't we been humiliated enough?
No. How about you get your ish together and try and stop it?
Right?
Like that, I never understood. Like even when coaches would say that and be like, okay, we've got like a good lead. Like let's just like
ease off
the gas a little bit. And I'm like, right. Why?
Well, that's it.
Why?
Why can't we continue to have our fun?
Yeah, like this is fun.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but like in a competitive setting like that, yeah. I'm not concerned about the other team's feelings. If you don't want to be embarrassed or like don't want to lose, then freaking figure it out.
Yeah, turn it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. That's it. Then that's the spirit of competition, really. The competition is what raises all ships, right? Yeah. That's the tide that raises all ships.
But vice versa, too. Like, if a team was beating us by that much, like, my mindset was like we gotta do better.
Well, either like, that
we or deserve that loss.
Next
because
practice, we're going to make sure that we come back stronger.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, what can we do to do better? Like, how can we, like, not do that again.
Isn't that, you know, don't you tear a muscle to be stronger?
Yeah, that's pretty much what
you need to get torn up.
Yeah.
To get stronger, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, both physically and mentally.
Yeah, break it down to build you back up. Yeah.
That's mentally, right. Yeah. Isn't that what they do in the army?
Yeah.
They tear you down and then they build you back up.
Yeah.
And then they tear you down again and they build you back up. And every time they get built back up, you're stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know what it takes, right? So that's why, you know, like somebody, so many of these millionaires have lost their millions several times over, but every time they come back stronger.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, you learn from the lessons of losses, right?
Sure. That's right. That's right. So there you go, Sav. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't give up. You keep you jump back on that horse. The horse bucks you off, and you injure a shoulder or a knee, whatever. You get back on that horse and give it a good squeeze in the gut and say, okay, try that again, pal, right?
It's been a little harder, though, to be, like, resilient in golf tournaments recently because I don't have any, like, core memories that are positive to look back on.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm, like, waiting for that, like, positive core memory
to kick
in.
Well, you got one last time at the long drive competition.
Yeah, but long drive is different than tournament golf. I'm talking, like, tournament golf.
Well, the pressure was on and you responded.
I know, but it's not the same.
Why isn't it the same?
It's not the same. It's not the same.
It's not the same stimulation.
It's not the same stimulus. It's not the same environment. It's not the same task.
So when you're on the grid, because you've got a couple of chances, it makes you feel like you're still in it and you go for it? Is that because
of that? Well, it's just like a completely different sport. Like, there's no similarities at all in terms of atmosphere or mindset or anything.
But you're still swinging a golf club.
Yeah, I know that. But, like, a 4.5 hour, 5 hour round, 18 holes by yourself with, like, multiple kinds of shots and everything, that's completely different than long drive.
I get that. But that little glimmer, right? I mean, it's what's really cool is that once you get on a birdie train, it's like, it's hard to get off.
Well, I've never experienced it. Well,
not yet, but you will, I'm telling you, because, you know, like at the club, you got the ability to birdie any of those holes. Mm-hmm. So why not do them all in one shot? That's what the attitude with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen. With Annika Sorenstam, right? It's Project 54 or something like that, you know? 54 is the perfect game.
Right.
Where you have 18 birdies.
Yeah.
So, and I'm thinking, well, I mean, what about a couple of eagles? If the eagles are possible, why not? Mm-hmm. So I remember being down in a tournament and I'm thinking, I'm 5 over par. Even par is going to be the cut. Yeah, I'm going to have to birdie five of the remaining 6 holes to get in. Mm-hmm. And then I think about that. I'm going, well, shoot, I've birdied all 5 of those holes on this golf course before. Mm-hmm. Why not now? And it was like my attitude just flipped. And I did it.
Yeah,
I birdied 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And the cut was +1. I still made it.
Yeah.
Right? And you're thinking, oh my gosh, what was the difference there as far as attitude?
Yeah.
And that's the Cameron Smith versus, you know, the person being defensive.
Yeah.
So a person being defensive to, well, you know, my dad's a pro, so everybody expects me to do well. And I got this amazing golf swing and I can hit it 300 yards. So everybody expects me to do well. And you get all this stuff that, and then all these expectations go up and then all of a sudden you're on that defensive.
Yeah.
That's why you're not having any fun.
Yeah. I'm not having fun in golf tournaments at all.
Right.
Like I have,
so you have a tournament tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow and Thursday.
A 2-day.
Yeah.
In Ottawa.
Yeah.
Never seen the course before.
Nope.
And you're going, and I'm going, you must be excited. And what did you respond to me?
It's like, I don't really like excited about golf tournaments right this second.
But next week, we're all going down to Connecticut for a long drive competition. Mm-hmm. Are you more excited about that or the 2 days coming up?
The long drive.
Right? Because it was fun, right?
Yeah.
You had a positive experience and it was fun. And why not?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm thinking, hey, you know, let's start encouraging the long drive competition and see if we can, you know, do our part in there and raise awareness and get some more competition in there and so you guys can have a blast.
Yeah.
And Moo, on the other hand, I mean, how does it feel for you going into these long drives? Because your first experience was really good. You basically got beat out of the top 16 by a yard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it let me know that I can hang with the guys. That was an aspect that I just wasn't sure yet the first time.
Right.
But now it's just now, you know, just getting lucky, lucky bounces. Cause now it's like you're laying on the grid. Sometimes you bounce out of bounds and.
Well, that last grid, you guys.
Yeah, the last grid. Well, oh, man.
Yeah, the last grid was frustrating. Yeah. And that's part of the sport, too. Sometimes you're not going to get fair bounces go your way, just like golf, right?
The rub of the green.
You should have seen me. Yeah. If I show you the videos of me filming Moo, I was literally jumping up and down, being like, stay in! Because you had one, like, a fade down the right center.
Yeah.
And then it took a hard kick right out of bounds. And I was talking to, like,
the... It was fading, too.
Yeah,
it was fading, too.
And I went up to the ball caller after the set, because Moo had already walked off. I was like, so what was yardage on that one? He was like, out of bounds. I was like, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
So it was just the reality of that competition. You know, just understanding some days are not going to bounce your way. And then just kind of going back and working on...
You know, what I liked about what you said was, I feel like I can hang with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're going to hang with them for a while. You're just going to hang around, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you hang around long enough,
yeah,
pretty cool stuff happens.
Yeah.
Right? So our son, your brother, Riley, just had his first perfect weekend.
Yeah.
So Riley has a strength and conditioning coach. He has the privilege of, you know, working out with you on some days, Moo.
Yeah.
And he's got his BMX coach that is the reigning Pan Am Games winner.
Yeah.
And twice Olympian in Canada.
Yeah, Tori.
Tori Nyhaug.
Yeah.
So he deals with Tori on a weekly basis. He communicates with his strength and conditioning coaches in Nova Scotia. He's one of the top guys in the country.
Yeah.
He's got his BMX coach here for Team Quebec. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's really well surrounded.
Yeah.
And we went from getting nudged off the Canadian team 5 years ago as far as the developmental team. We come to Quebec because it's a lot more, you know, with a lot more vibrant here for BMX.
Right.
Less expectations, all that stuff. And he started winning everything here. Mm-hmm. So he does well. Then all of a sudden, whoop, we're back on the Canadian team. Mm-hmm. And now he just wins his, he just made, I think, his second podium last week in Canada Cup. Mm-hmm. and then finally won his first Canada Cup. And we thought, we went back and we said, that's the first time an athlete from Quebec wins a Canada Cup.
Right. So he made history.
He made history this weekend.
Yeah.
And now he's leading in the points in Canada Cup. So he goes from being nudged off the team to back on the team with a vengeance. And because he hung around.
Yeah.
Right? And he plugged and he plugged and he, you know, scraped. And I mean, gosh, what just happened to him in Europe? He finally goes to Europe with the Canadian team and gets COVID. Spends 2 weeks in isolation, coughing up a lung.
Yeah, no practice, no
practice, no nothing. Finally gets out, gets on the bike. He can't ride because his lungs are on fire. So he comes home and was a complete disaster. Then starts training at home and tears a quad. And you're thinking, those are tree trunks. How can those tear, right?
Yeah.
And it healed very quickly.
Yeah, he's got to, he's got to get nutrition going.
That's it. That. And then he finally had a good training camp, and he says, "Okay, I think I can race next weekend." Makes a podium and then wins. So again, tear him down, bring him back up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a amazing story of resilience.
Yeah,
and you know, that's what you got to do. So I know, Sav, that if you hang around long enough, something's going to happen. Yeah. And then you go, hey, I was 200 par for that nine. Well, I can do 200 par for another nine too.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start shooting 68.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, dear, it's happened to me. It's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Your swing's way better than mine. So it's just like you said, you hang around. And you got to remove the expectations now. I mean, the next couple of days, it's, come on, let's just have some fun.
Yeah,
I suggested that you just compete with the person that's in your group.
That's
it. Try to beat them each hole.
That's what we talked about last time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday I had a team event tournament.
Yes.
Had lots of fun, was super relaxed, like played really well, so.
You and Helen came in second.
Yeah, so. Trying to bring over that same, like, relaxed energy and stuff into, like, an individual tournament is, like, the next step. Because I always look forward to the team events and always play super well in the team events because that's just, like, I'm very used to the team atmosphere. There's something about it that just,
At one point, and this is something that I want you to, and the listeners will really enjoy this. It was one very positive experience that I had. And there was back in Barrie, when we used to live in Barrie, there's a guy who was, I'm trying to remember, it's a performance coach, a mental performance coach, a little bit like when Ernie Els had a mental performance coach at one point, with Peak Performance Coach.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he says, imagine... you're on stage and there's a crowd of people there and a spotlight is shone upon you and it's just you on stage and you hate crowds and just people are looking at you and you're all by yourself. He says, okay, now imagine your dad come and stand behind you. How does that make you feel?
Me?
Yeah.
Better.
Right? I'm behind you now.
Yeah.
It's okay. I got my hand on your shoulder. I'm behind you. Then Moo comes over, stands behind you on the other side, puts a hand on your shoulder. How do you feel now?
Good.
So just knowing that, right? And just imagining that. So imagine you got Hélène with you tomorrow. So you and Hélène are playing together. What would Hélène do at this particular pole, right?
Yeah.
So just imagine, you know, Moo's going to be on the bag for you. So you'll have that support. But it's you and Hélène playing tomorrow. So you're going to go and play golf with Hélène, who's your favorite mentor on the golf course. I mean, she really took you under her wing because she can see the potential in you. right? She looks at your swing and she watches you. I mean, she's approached me several times and she says, oh my gosh, what a potential, right?
Yeah.
And that's why she's really taken to you, because she's been several times club champ.
Yeah.
She's got that killer attitude, right? You can see that.
It's fun to watch. I play with her a few times. It's like the switch turns on. And
that switch goes on and you can see it turn on. Yeah. You're going, hey, you're not the same person.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Who are you and what did you do with Hélène?
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's
right?
Like, and it's not everyone has it too. It's very cool to see.
Yeah.
And like she has had like all of the experiences possible in like tournament play. So she's very seasoned. And like last year when we played in the club championship, I played the first round with her. Mm. And because we're so alike in competition, we kind of like fed off of each other. And I ended up shooting a 77, which was the best round of the day for the ladies.
Yeah.
And afterwards she came up to me, like after the round, she was like, I hope like you didn't take anything the wrong way. Like I just, this is how I get when I'm competitive. And I'm like, no, yeah. Like I totally understand. Like that's
she was having an off day too, so it was very strange for us to see her, you know, play the way she did. Mm. But obviously, she turned it on the next day, and
and she even says, we even talked about this yesterday. She was like, "Had we played together the second day as well, you would have done way better,
right?
Because we can feed off of each other's energies."
Yeah. Exactly.
You notice that on the pro level too, some guys play well together when they're tit for tat, and like they like that friendly competition. Like a guy like Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler, when they play together, it's fun to watch.
That extra club in the bag is your pairing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
because you could be paired up with a doofus who's slow, and you know, and it's just like it drags on, and you can't get a rhythm, and you know, versus a player like Hélène.
100%, right? Yep.
So
they keep you in it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So Hélène is with you tomorrow, okay? Mm-hmm. You're playing with her, and that's the turn. You're going to play 2 days with Hélène.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, what would Hélène do here?
Yeah.
How would she react to this, right?
Yeah, because she's very, like yesterday, the course that we were playing is a very strategic golf course. Mm-hmm. Like you got to like hit your targets kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she was a member there for a year, so she knew like all the little like nooks and crannies of the course.
That helps.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'll tell you where to put it. And that kind of thing. And
that's it.
Yeah. Pick the club as soon that as matches.
That's it.
Yeah.
Very good. So, and you enjoyed it. You had a good round. You played well.
Yeah. Like I was super relaxed, played well, hit some really good shots. Like if ever I missed a shot, she made up for it and then vice versa.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it was very good.
There you go. So there's your strategy for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And I remember using that technique. I was in a meeting and it was a business meeting and there were three against me, mm-hmm. right? It was a boardroom, three on their side and me on my side.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Guess who was behind me? My favorite lawyer, my dad.
Ah, yes.
Oh, that helps, eh?
Right?
Yeah.
And then they would come out with something, and I would go, well, what would dad say right now? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, no, that's not acceptable. I want that.
Yeah.
And I came out of there. I was standing 10 feet tall. It was one of the best meetings I ever had.
Yeah.
Just knowing, just picturing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, your brain is incredible with pictures.
Yeah.
Do you remember they did some amazing research where they took a basketball team and they split it in three. They said, team number one, free throws an hour a day, 2 weeks. Team number two, imagine you're doing free throws. You're never missing. Never missing, right? Mm-hmm. An hour a day.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Team number three, don't do anything, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Team number one, improved by 22%. Team number two, 23%. Mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus says, I never missed a putt in my mind.
It primes the mind and body to execute.
Right.
In a clear manner and not overthink.
Exactly.
Anything, right? You just...
I know what it feels like when that ball rolls off the tip of my fingers and nothing but net swish.
Yeah.
So I'm just pretending and I'm feeling that flick. and I see that arc, and I see the net exploding from the ball going through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you hear that swish. So that's why they improved more, because the ones that were shooting and missing, you know, they were still getting some productive practice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as productive as picturing it and never missing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the power. So.
Yeah, I saw Riley do the same thing this weekend.
Yeah, he described that beautifully.
On Saturday, on the final, right? Like, we're sitting down the same camper, and he was kind of like, you know, in his zone, kind of meditating on how he's going to execute each lane and finish the race. And he told me that he started tearing up because he had visualized himself winning that last final, right? So he kind of had the right mindset and the right feel before executing his task.
And look what he did.
Yeah, it was fun to win.
It was like it was inevitable.
Yeah.
And he won with his B game.
Right.
Like he wouldn't, he says, you know, because he got sick.
Right.
And he had another cold over the weekend.
Yeah.
He had a bad sore throat. He was, you know, had the chills and the sweats.
Yeah.
And on the night before the race, and he told his mom, and he says, I don't want to give it any power. Just give me an Advil.
Yeah.
He couldn't take the Advil cold and sinus.
Right.
So he took an Advil, and he went out and he won with his B game. I had to, like you remember, we had to give him some mustard because his legs were cramping up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, man, I don't remember his legs cramping up so bad.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, he told everybody. And I'm going, oh, now it all makes sense.
Yeah, he didn't want to talk about it because he didn't want to give it any attention.
Right. Yeah. He says, hey, I'm here. It's going to happen. Regardless.
Yeah, it's not going to bother him.
I mean, that is like the double whammy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unbothered was the word.
Unbothered, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny how, you know, it also can take a little bit of pressure off. But that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that weekend, and it was great to be everybody there as a family, and
that was nice,
and cheering on. So I'm looking forward to next week, Sav. You know, everything's booked up. I'm booked solid with Thursday, Friday, Saturday lessons. I gotta make sure I reschedule my Saturdays from 12:30 to 3:30.
Yeah, you should do that.
And then so that I get to see compete there at 4 o'clock. And that'll be a blast. And then, of course, I'll have more cheering on people for you. We're talking right now. If you're in Connecticut, New York, in the area of Portland, Connecticut, or nearby, you got to come and see Sav and Moo compete and cheer them on over the weekend. That's where you can really be noisy and yell out mashed potatoes and all that good stuff.
That's right.
So there you go. Anything to add, you guys?
Not me.
Just to talk about the video that's posted today. I noticed the logos on the TaylorMade. It's something I never noticed before. It's just to talk about how the driver face works.
Yes.
It surprised me that, you know, it's a common mistake, like the strikes I would get trying out that particular product.
Yeah.
I didn't notice I had a lot of heel strikes because my perception of the logo made me think that it was the center of the face on top of the...
Right.
But,
you had a lot of heel strikes.
Yeah, I had a lot of heel strikes.
Typically, a lot of players will have toe strikes with the TaylorMade product because the logo is closer to the heel.
Closer, yeah.
And they don't look at the logo, they look at the face, and they're trying to find the balance, the middle of the face.
Yeah.
Well, the middle of the face is outside the sweet spot. It's toward the toe.
Right.
So a lot of them are going to toe hook the shots or, you know, toe fade it out there because of they're really too much out towards the toe.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is because the face is round, and obviously you don't have that problem because you're so deep through the ball, Moo, but a lot of people who swing at the ball, they look at the face because it's round, it looks more open than it actually is.
Right.
So it appears more open.
So they try to save it.
So they gotta they're kind of closing the face and trying to bring the toe back to square.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they overly close the face. And if they release at the ball with that, they're gonna have big hooks.
Right.
So you combine that with a toe and then it's really hooking.
Yeah.
So the remedy is don't close it. Mm-hmm. Or if you do close it, make sure you're delivering deep through the ball and into the direction that you want at the start.
Right.
So that's A. And B is, well, when if you surround the logo with, you know, you put two white bars, one on each side of electrical tape, which is completely legal and completely conforming to USGA rules.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have any tape on the face, you're fine. Mm-hmm. So you remember that Sav, you were toward the toe and we had to get you a little bit more toward the inside line.
Yeah.
And then you started hitting in the center of the face.
Yeah.
So that's something that you probably need to revisit on a, you know, semi consistent basis to keep readjusting the eye to, because the club is so far from you, especially at the long drive competitions at 48 inches. It's, you know, for a person like you, you're shorter with longer arms. That sucker's really far from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm taller with shorter arms.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be a little bit closer to it, a little bit more over the ball. And I kind of like, you know, we've made experiments with my club speed. And because my club speed doesn't go any faster with a 45 and a half inch shaft, I'm just staying at 44 and enjoying it. And I feel very close to the center of the face all the time. I don't have any issues with that because I'm more over the ball.
Yeah.
So those are the two tidbits that we talk about in the video, and I'm sure many will benefit from that information. And they don't realize that the reason why woods are forgiving is because of the rounded face. You know, twist face for TaylorMade?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, twist face or the bowed face has been around for decades.
Yeah.
And it exists in wooden clubs. That's what they did with wood clubs.
Okay.
So if you hit it off the toe, the gear effect, they call it the gear effect, it loads the shaft and it torques up the shaft.
Okay.
So the shaft loads in a, you know, it torques up.
Right.
And then it releases around the ball. So the shaft releases and creates a gear effect to the left.
Right.
When you hit it off the toe.
Yeah.
So if the toe is rounded out, it forces the ball to the right so it could draw back to the middle.
Right. That's the forgiveness.
That's right. Yeah. And the same thing happens in the heel.
Yeah.
If you get it in the heel, the shaft torques a different way because you're on the other side of the center of mass of the driver, and then it kicks and it gives it gear effect to the right.
Yeah, I find I get that great feel, the torque you're talking about with the Elite Golf shafts very well. It's very, very receptive in the information I get with each swing.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So you feel you're getting really accurate feedback.
Accurate feedback, yeah.
From an off-center hit.
Yeah, with the Elite Golf shaft.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's why so many players like DJ and Morikawa, they love to play the blades because there's no weight around the perimeter. There's no moment of inertia, in other words.
Okay.
And so if you put weight on the toe and the heel, if you hit it a little bit toward the toe, you have some mass behind there.
Yeah.
But you don't get the same feedback when you're hitting in the center of the face.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah.
So if you're playing blades, it's bliss on a stick in the center of the face.
For sure.
And because you're, you know, the center of the face is it's much easier to work the ball. You want to fade it, you want to draw it, you want to hit it high or low.
Right.
When you're hitting it always close to the face, you're going to be able to do that very nicely. Mm-hmm. But the further away from the face you put the weight, the harder it is to work the ball.
Understood.
Okay. But if you miss the center of the face, it's more forgiving. In other words, you know, with my Callaway Rogue Pros.
Yeah.
Because it's a hollow head and there's more weight around the perimeter.
Yeah.
I get the look of a blade, but if I miss hit my 7-iron, it's 175. If I flush my 7-iron, it's 185.
Right.
If I flush a blade, it'll be 185.
Yeah.
But if I miss hit, it'll be 160.
Yeah, it's quite.
More penal if you miss the center of the face.
Yeah, so you got to train hard too.
But if you're playing every day and you're always hitting the center of the face, then right. You want to play blades.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how it works.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now we got our technical jargon in for the podcast.
Yeah. I just wanted to confirm some stuff with you on that.
All right. Good. Well, appreciate the question, man.
No problem.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. And we look forward to bringing you some more cool stuff next Wednesday before we head down to Connecticut.
Take care.
All the best.